Father, we gather here this morning, we gather in your presence, and we gather here, Lord, before your word. And we pray this morning, Lord, that you will use your word, as you have used your word down through the years in so many places, to teach your people the messages and lessons that they need to hear and learn. We pray this morning, Lord, that we will learn the lesson that you would have us learn from this passage, and to realize that you are the same God that led the people out of Egypt. You are the same God that opened the Red Sea and then closed it again. You are the same God that sustained them those 40 years in that wilderness and ultimately got them into the promised land, and you are the same Lord today. Thank you that you are the same Lord and that you will do for us whatsoever things you did for them. We ask these things now humbly in the name of our Lord Jesus and for his sake. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. The last several weeks we've been, well, probably more than that, we've been going through the book of Exodus in the Sunday school class, and there are so many wonderful lessons to learn here as we read about the Israelite people. Those people who were descended from Abraham, and that God had promised Abraham he would make a great nation of him. Well, he did this, but he did it in Egypt. And they became slaves, and they were in hard slavery day and night after 400 years, and they were crying out to the Lord. And this is when the Lord raised up a man named Moses, who had been in exile for 40 years after making a brief attempt to help his people, but he didn't know how to go about it, so he wound up in exile. But the Lord brings him back, and through Moses, God delivers his people. God does many miraculous wonders and signs, brings the people out, and now they stand in front of the Red Sea with nowhere to go. They have basically hills or mountain ranges on either side, and they have now Pharaoh's army with 600 of his best chariots and his horsemen and footmen all closing in on them, and it looks like they have nowhere to go. And that is when they cry out and they say, Moses, was it because there were no graves back in Egypt that you brought us out here in this desert to die? And so as we go through these lessons of the people of God in Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, I just want you to understand that whatever God did for those people, he'll do for us. And it's all the same thing. It's all the same story. And we can just put ourselves in there. Put in South Norfolk, maybe, instead of Egypt or whatever, and put in your own life situation. But it is all the same thing. And Sunday night, as I was meditating on this, the Lord gave me this message, because it just, there's things we know, but sometimes it just kind of hits you, and it kind of hit me, and I said, you know, this is a message we can all hear, because this is so, so true. And so, I want to go through this little thing this morning. How many know the story of the Israelites leaving Egypt? A lot of you know it, how the Lord led them through the Red Sea, and then how that they were thirsty, and the Lord provided water from a rock. And they were hungry, and the Lord provided manna. And they were attacked by their enemies, and the Lord brought them deliverance, and so forth. But this is what hit me Sunday night. And this is what I'm hoping the Lord will be able to get through to every single one of us, into our spirit, to the point that when things happen in life, we will respond based on the truth of God's word. And we have an advantage this morning that the Israelites did not have when they were standing there in front of that Red Sea and with Pharaoh's army closing in close behind them. The advantage we have that they did not have is something called hindsight. They didn't have hindsight, but we have hindsight, and we know the rest of the story. And because we know the rest of the story, see, there are lessons in these stories that God wants us to learn. And that's why these stories are in Scripture. They're not just stories. These are stories about us. These are stories about what God wants to do. These are stories about how God works, not in some distant time and land, but right here, right now on behalf of all of his people. How many of you have ever faced a situation where you felt like you had the Red Sea in front of you, mountain ranges on either side, and Pharaoh's whole army closing in on you? You ever felt like that? I don't know how, you know, you feel trapped. You feel like you don't know where you're going to go from this. And the thing is, here's what I want us to know and understand this morning from the Word of God. And I'm going to need a little audience participation probably as we go along here. But if you're one who does the notes and fills in the blanks, now would be the time to get that. And here's what I want you to know and understand from this story. From Exodus 14, Pharaoh and his army never posed, P-O-S-E-D, a true threat to the people of God. Let's read that again. Pharaoh and his army never posed a true threat to the people of God. You say, well, how could you say that they never posed a true threat to the people of God? The reason is because God knew all along what he was going to do. God said to Moses to tell the people, stand still. You're going to see today the deliverance that the Lord is going to bring to you. These Egyptians that you see so large in number with all their horses and all their chariots and all their spears and their javelins and their noise and their armor and all of this, you're not going to see them anymore because the Lord is going to deliver you today. Folks, it was already a foregone conclusion because the Lord already knew what he was going to do. They're the only ones that didn't know what he was going to do, and that's why they panicked. And that's exactly why you panic and I panic in certain situations, because we see the situation, but we don't see what God is going to do. But I can assure you this as a believer, God is going to do something if you cry out to him. Can I hear an amen? We were talking about that this morning. They're at the bitter waters, you know. What do we do now? Do we organize a committee? Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. The answer was right there, but he had to pray before the Lord showed him the answer. And then he cut down the tree and threw it into the water, and the water was made okay. But it's a foregone conclusion. How many know what bungee jumping is? And you see somebody jump off of one of those cranes or cliffs or whatever it is they jump off of. By the way, folks, I don't plan to do that anytime soon myself. But I have seen it on TV. But if you did not know that there was a strong cord attached to that person that will not break, if you did not know that and you saw that person falling, you would conclude that they were falling to their death. But the truth of the matter is that person is never in any real jeopardy because the cord will hold them and it will stop them before they hit the ground. And that is the situation that you and I are in as we walk this daily life. And people look, I don't know how we're going to get out of this situation. I don't know what we're going to do about this. Well, the danger seems real. And of course, if the Lord doesn't intervene, it is real. But the reason there's no real threat is the Lord is going to intervene. Pharaoh and his army never posed a true threat to the people of God. Number two, there was never any danger, not at any time, not at any point. There was never any danger that God's people would go hungry in the desert. They're out there in the desert. There aren't any crops out there. There aren't any dairy farms out there. There is nothing out there, and they conclude that they're going to go hungry. The fact of the matter is there was never any danger that the people of God were going to go hungry in the desert. Now, this is where I need the audience participation. Why was there no danger that the people of Israel were going to go hungry in the desert? Why is that? Can we say that? Why was there never any danger they were going to go hungry out there? Huh? God what? Was going to provide manna, right? Yes, thank you. God was going to provide manna. And after a day or two, they started finding it out on the ground. And they'd go out in the morning, and there it was. It was new every morning. If they gathered too much, it would spoil. Because as the prayer says, give us this day our daily bread, not tomorrow's bread. In fact, how many have ever had bread spoil and go old on you? I was eating a hot dog bun last Saturday or sometime, and I ran into a spot of, shall we say, penicillin. But there was never any danger, but they thought there was. And then when they faced these situations, what did they do? They grumbled, they complained, they worried, they assigned blame. They did all the same stuff we do. But why do we do this when we know the Scripture? My Bible says, my God will supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Have you ever read that? Is it true or is it not true? It's true. Number three, there was never any danger that the people of Israel would die of thirst in the wilderness. There never was. Why? What was God going to do? He was going to give them water. How was He going to give them water? Huh? From a rock. And you can read all of these. You see the chapters here in close succession. These are the lessons of God's provision and protection right here in rapid succession as they enter the desert experience. In the natural, there wasn't any way. But with the Lord, there was always a way. Who would think that water would come from a rock? And the Lord says to Moses, go out there and strike the rock. He strikes it. It splits. Of course, that's a type of Christ who was smitten. And from Him comes the water of life. But there was enough water come from that rock to all of them to drink something. And there must have been at least 2 to 3 million of them for all of them to have something to drink, and their animals too. And it was just, there was a boundless supply. How many know God has a boundless supply? It never runs out. Man has, well, you know the economic realities that we're living in these days, supposedly. But we're children of the King. God will always provide for His people. Rely on Him. Number four, the Israelites were never in danger of being destroyed by their enemies in the desert. Yeah, I think it was the Amalekites. Anyway, one of those group of desert people came out and caught them right out there in the desert and attacked them. And Moses said, Joshua, get some guys together and go out and fight them. Now, they had to go out and fight them, but Moses was up on the hill, and that's the story where every time he'd raise his hands, they'd be winning. And then when he let his hands go down, they'd be losing. So then two of his helpers came and held his hands up the rest of the day until that battle was won. Do you think there might be a lesson in there for us somewhere? When the battle's getting tough, do you want to be like this, like this, like this, or do you want to be like this? But there never was, because God was going to deliver them, and God was going to give them. He didn't bring them out there in that desert to die. No, they were in the desert because they were on their way to the promised land that the Lord had promised to give them. He wasn't going to forsake them out there. Number five, now we're going back a little bit. There was never a question that God's people would be delivered from their bondage. This was back when they were still slaves. They had been slaves all this time. And it seemed like things were only getting worse every day. It didn't seem like there was a chance they would ever be delivered. But there was never a doubt of it. God's people would be delivered from their bondage and brought out of Egypt in victory. God had already planned this thing. God had told Moses, He said, now Pharaoh's a tough one. He's not going to let you go right away. And He didn't. But He said, when I get done with him, He's going to let you go. Because God already knew the end from the beginning. There is no way God was going to lose. How many know God always wins? That's the wonderful thing about serving the Lord. People say about, you know, anyway, are you on the Lord's side? That is, he on your side. Are you on the Lord's side? The Lord never wins. Never. He always wins. He never loses. It was never in doubt. And that's the name of our message today. It was never in doubt. Never in doubt. Number six, there was never any doubt that God would ultimately get his people safely into the promised land. And again, were there struggles along the way? Yeah. Were there difficulties? Yeah. Were there challenges? Yeah. Did they encounter the unexpected? Yeah. Was there any way God wasn't going to get them in safely? No. God was going to do it because God had already promised. Number seven, and there wasn't the least chance that once there, the Israelites would be unable to conquer and take possession of the land the Lord had promised to give them. And I might just add one short note here. The only times that God's people were defeated was when they did themselves in by not trusting or following the Lord. Now, there are a few instances of that, but it was never because the Lord didn't provide. It was never because the Lord let them down. It would only happen sometimes when they wouldn't listen and wouldn't obey and wouldn't follow the Lord's instructions. And here's a few ways that I think this might apply to us. Number one, God sometimes leads us through trying experiences and in pathways we don't understand. And I have an idea that that's happened to all of us at some time or other in our lives. Trying experiences and pathways we don't understand. Lord, why are you doing this? Why are you allowing this? And all of this, and we can get into all the why, and never learn the lessons the Lord wants to teach us right. That's why these things are there, that we might learn to trust, that we might learn to go to him, that we might learn to obey, and all of that. But he does. Does the Lord just lead us the easy way? Well, no, he doesn't. And are these situations we encounter real? When they did run out of food, was that real? Yeah. When they ran out of water? Yeah. When they were attacked by their enemies? Yeah. They were all real situations. But they were situations where God was going to prove his faithfulness. And God was going to teach them. But God leads us in ways. Who was leading them as they went through the desert by the cloud and by the pillar of fire? Who was leading them? The Lord was leading them. And a lot of times the way he led them probably didn't make any sense to them. But the Lord was leading them. So we need to worry less about where it is the Lord is leading us. Like Greyhound used to say, leave the driving to us. Leave the driving to the Lord. And get set back there and enjoy the ride for a while for a change. Huh? Have you ever tried to grab that steering wheel from the Lord? Lord, where are you taking me? Have you ever had somebody try to grab your steering wheel in real life? Anybody? Is that? It's a good way to cause an accident, I'll tell you that much. But the Lord may lead us in some unexpected way or even in a painful way. Number two, and you know this is true, we like for life to be predictable and manageable. So the challenges and unexpected situations cause us sometimes to fear and fret and worry. Some people do one or two, some do all three. And even in our prayers, we often are looking for ways to explain, manage, or control what we are going through. We want the Lord to help us manage it. Watch how you pray. Number three, God will lead us and God will provide. This is what He did for the Israelites in the desert. God will lead us and God will provide, but He is not trying to help us manage or fix our situation. That's for Him to do. But He does want us to trust Him and follow His leading. There's a lot of difference between trusting the Lord in a situation and following His leading and being in control. There's a lot of difference. And how we approach the situation definitely will impact the outcome. And if we're trying to grab the steering wheel out of His hand, He may not be able to do everything He wants to do because we're not listening, and we're not fully trusting, and we're not following His leading. Number four, my job is not to understand everything. Someday the Lord will answer your questions, but today He wants you to trust and obey. My job is not to understand everything, be able to explain it all, or to fix it all. That's not my job. My job is to know what my role should be in the current situation. And follow my Lord's direction one step at a time. A lot of times we want all the answers up front, right? He'll work it out. He'll see me through. He'll be faithful. He'll be true. Has the Lord ever been unfaithful? Has the Lord ever failed to keep His word? Have you ever seen an answer come a lot later than you first thought it would come, but it still came? Or the answer was a little different than you had what? Envisioned it or imagined it. But there's nothing like walking through this desert relying on the Lord. Lord, You'll provide. You'll provide the bread. You'll provide the water. You'll provide the guidance. You'll provide the protection. All I got to do is stay close to You, Lord. Follow Your direction and then do what You tell me. One step at a time. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You that Your faithfulness is never in question. The only thing in question sometimes is our willingness to stop a minute and hear, or our willingness to admit that we don't know the answers. Or our willingness to say, Lord, not only can I not control this situation, I don't want to control it. because I want you to control it. Lord, just show me what I should be today. Show me what my role should be today. That's all I need to know. And I know you'll supply the rest. Thank you for safely guarding and guiding your people. And thank you that you are committed to this. You are committed to this. You are more committed to this than we are to following you and hearing you and obeying you. You are more committed to leading us to the ultimate goal than we are to following it. But Lord, give us hearts to trust you. Give us hearts to not question you. Give us hearts to rely on you and not think that we need to know all the answers today. And thank you that as we do this, somehow the way opens up and we don't even know how. And then later we look back and we say, wow, what amazing things the Lord has done. So help us, Lord, instead of worrying and fretting or trying to figure it out, to give it to you, to be looking to you, and then to follow each and every direction you give us. Thank you that your guidance can always be counted upon because you are 100% faithful and true. Thank you for your word. Use it in our hearts as we hear you and are willing to follow. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.